through the routine, and the level in the brown medicine bottle became lower and lower. At last, Mboga said, "Buona doctor, coughs are finished. Shall I?" He placed his hands over the buckle of his belt. I nodded. He called out, "Now for those who have small joy in their stomachs." For an hour, I listened to a list of sad stories, each with a full explanation of the cause. These were both imaginative and dramatic. To a large number of these people, not only was the white medicine given, but when I nodded to Umbu and Kalama, they smiled and worked enthusiastically with their purple medicine, their globular salts, which was produced in Tanzania, and their bran. While all this was going on, Mboga worked busily with a thermometer and a yellow crayon. All who complained of mungo, fever, had their temperatures taken. He put what was called the glass nail under the sick person's arm.
"Safer to do it here, Buona. There are less teeth."
He ran his hand over skin below the ribs on each side. The yellow crayon traced out enlarged spleens or livers. In the extreme heat of midday, the kettle changed its job from a supply of water for hand washing to filling a large teapot. Mwendwa had cooked ugali, millet porridge, and young Kalama proudly produced a pawpaw the size of a football. A drop of blood had been taken from all whose temperature was raised, and for the best part of an hour I examined blood slides for the minute purple circles amongst the pink peach petal-like red blood cells which signposted malaria. I looked up from the microscope. On the paper in front of me were 10 names. We handed out pills to 4 of these. The others had heavy infections of Africa's greatest killer. People crowded round to witness the drama of injection. The 6 sat poised over a form. Mboga slapped himself in the area of his hip pocket. The sick people did what was necessary in adjusting their clothing.
"I have no fear of the tooth of Sindano, the needle,"
loudly announced a boy who had shown no trouble in his blood. Mboga made a grab at him.
"Prove it,"
he shouted. The boy bolted off towards the village, followed by shouts of laughter. Rapidly, I injected quinine. As I rubbed the place where the needle had entered the last sick man, Elisha, the carpenter, limped towards us down the rough track. He carried a bag of tools over his shoulder. He called a greeting and pointed excitedly with his chin towards the hills. I looked up from re-sterilizing syringes and needles and saw people shouting and scurrying off to their mud and wattle houses in the nearby villages. Mwendwa and her helpers hastily gathered up medicines and equipment, while Mboga urged,
"Buona, do not do that work yet.